Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite show? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/adfreesports. That's amazon.com/adfreesports to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime members. Some shows may have ads.
Welcome to your daily affirmations. Repeat after me. Working with others is easier than ever. I strive for perfect collaboration. Our teamwork keeps getting better. Yeah, affirmations are great, but Monday.com can really get you the teamwork you desire. Work together easily and share files, updates, data, and just about anything you want all in one platform. Affirm yes to start. Or tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
We acknowledge the Yuggera and Kaurna nations as traditional custodians of the land on which we work, live and learn, and their continuing connection with the land, waters and community. We pay our respects to them and their elders past and present.
All content related to this program is for general informational purposes only and contains stories and discussion around mental health that may be disturbing to some listeners. If you are concerned about yourself or someone you know, please seek professional and individual advice and support. More details are contained in our show notes.
It's honestly just a matter of acting. Action creates reaction. Whether it be positive or negative, that's totally up to your choosing.
That's New Zealand explorer Brando Jelovic, and this is Reframe of Mind,
the podcast that cuts through the platitudes and gets to the core of living authentically, challenging our assumptions and improving mental health with the guidance of good science, philosophy, and learning from other people's lived experiences.
We're your hosts, Andy Leroy and Louise Poole.
We've covered a fair bit of ground since we started out 19 episodes ago, Andy.
Oh, you're not wrong. And here's cheers for episode 20.
Woo! Woo! Did we get the champagne glasses? I've got a coffee cup over here. Hang on.
There you go. There's your champagne.
That's my cheers.
Just wipe my finger.
You know, when we started the series, Reframe of Mind, I think we came from a place where we were fragile at the very start. And I don't want to go too far back in our recap here, because 20 episodes in, I'm happy to leave a lot of that trauma behind.
Yeah, same. You know, suffice to say that the fragility that you'd start out with was, you know, you'd left a career of 20 years in radio. I'd lost my dad. And there are other things that happened, a lot of other things that happened around both of those scenarios for both of us. And it's all there in episodes 1 through to 19. And I think it's nice to be able to sort of say that we are leaving that behind.
Yeah, this is it. This is our throwback saying, if you've missed our other 19 episodes of trauma, there's plenty more for you to catch up on. If this is where you're starting in the conversation.
Exactly. You're our new trauma point.
Along the way, we spoke to, I think it was episode 12, we spoke to Derek McManus, who he was a police officer. He used to do the tactical stuff, and he was shot in the line of duty. And he since came up with this model for human durability based on his experiences, where we go from being fragile to being in our comfort zone to being durable. And we've actually been using this a lot, haven't we?
Yeah. For me particularly, like, it had a really big impact on the way I viewed this kind of stuff, you know, because Derek's insight into the difference even between resilience and durability, really worth a listen. I wouldn't say that we're at a point of durability quite yet, but, you know, I think it's fair to say that we both feel like we've now got an idea of what that looks like, and that we feel better prepared as we now start to push past our comfort zones. You know, making this series was a big one for me, because I felt all of these things about releasing details of my personal life, my personal story, and we've both gone through different stages of whatever, you know, through establishing our own business as well. So we don't live in a vacuum. It just keeps coming at us.
Which means it feels like a great time to introduce some new questions about what happens when we head down a path of completely uncharted territory, because that's where we are.
Yeah, definitely. We have not been business owners before.
No, we've only ever worked for somebody else, and being a business owner comes with its own set of unique challenges.
It does, and those unique challenges also include us facing our personal demons still in that context. So, you know, it's kind of good, I think, to get some context from somebody else who has put themselves right out of their comfort zone.
Yes.
Because that's where resilience is built and where durability also forms.
So Brando Jelovich, perfect example, a New Zealand explorer who's walked around the perimeter of New Zealand, ridden a bicycle across the Australian continent. He is no stranger to coming face to face with the worst case scenario and pushing himself outside his comfort zone.
You know, when I think of what I did before I turned 30 and what Brando's done before he turned 30, I still don't want to play that comparison game. So in August 2014, 19-year-old Brando was the first person to walk the coastline of New Zealand. And that's 8,700 kilometres. He did that in 600 days.
I'm exhausted just thinking about going to the letterbox. since then, Brando's completed numerous self-supported adventures around the globe, including surviving in the wilderness of Stewart Island, which covered 570 kilometres in 30 days.
Yeah, man, he has actually covered some Ks in his time. He also skied 600 kilometres across the Greenland ice cap in 33 days.
He hopped on his kayak for just a quick 72-day, 4,780-kilometre paddle around Vancouver Island, which is the largest island on the west coast of the Americas.
I had no idea that was such a big island. Mm. Anyway, back to 2019 for a second. Mm. Brando was the first person to cycle across the continent of Australia from west to east, covering 5,555 kilometres across all of our deserts in 130 days.
I'm exhausted just hearing about those achievements.
I think I've lost 10 kilos just with that conversation.
Brando has produced 3 books, which he says he found remarkable due to the impact of dyslexia and ADHD. His best-selling book, Wild Boy, details his trek around New Zealand's coastline. It was awarded the 2016 Children and Young Adults Choice Award.
And Brando does what he does to help others see their worth and realise that they too are capable of amazing things.
Yeah, his aim with his work is to lower depression rates by being a powerful and relatable voice.
So Brando sees himself as an ordinary person, believe it or not.
I do, because we spoke to him. But he is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, so he sees himself as an ordinary person doing extraordinary things, which I think is remarkable in itself. You know, he's driven by passion and love rather than ego or money. And you know, as he'll reveal in the interview, he firmly believes he makes his own luck.
So where do you start with someone who's done so much in life already? We imagine for someone who embarked on a walk around the entire coast of New Zealand that he must have had a real connection with nature and a love for walking.
I hate walking.
Did you hate it before you started?
Yeah. I was definitely like, you know, I lived about 5 minutes walk from McDonald's, but I would always drive there when I was growing up. That was my understanding of dinner, is like fast food. So I didn't really know how to cook very well. I didn't like walking, and I didn't really even want to go into it walking. Originally, I was going to run, and that didn't really work out because I got shin splints from training. And as soon as I put the pack on my back, I realized it was impossible. The other side of it was I was on the benefit. I had no money. I had no support. All the sponsors that I would contact all said, nope, you're crazy, or there's too many gunners in this world and not enough doers. And so that just gave me more fuel to my fire. I wanted to prove them wrong as well.
Mm.
So I reached that point where I was just like, there is no one that's going to help me. I'm the only person that's going to do this. Walking was my only option. But the whole point of the expedition or the journey wasn't to walk around New Zealand. It was to, in the beginning, find myself. You know, I was so lost. I was depressed. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I was meant to be. I felt so separate from everything and everyone else. And so it was a journey of self-discovery. And when I set off, the connection to nature that I'd never had, the connection to like the oceans, the people that I was meeting, all these elements of a pure and natural existence, like from an animalistic point of view, what we were meant to be like as humans, it all started coming out. And I started reconnecting with my instinctual side, the side that we all have inside us that our ancestors, you know, the only reason we're here today is because of our ancestors and the things they learned. And so here I was living this very instinctual primal life, hunting and fishing for all of my own food and connecting with nature in a way that I truly can't even begin to describe. And that whole experience really taught me one key thing. And, you know, I said in the beginning of this that I was trying to find myself. And the truth is you don't find yourself. It doesn't matter how hard, high, low, or where you look. It's you know, it's creating yourself. That's how you get somewhere in life. That's how you change, is by creating new growth. Just being this new version of yourself by doing the things that you love. You know, I have ADHD, and structure is not something that I do well building into my life.
It's pretty clear Brando wasn't some rich kid who just decided to go on a nice walk one day to conquer the world. Mm. His reason to walk came from a deeper motivation to know himself.
I feel like I was the trauma of my youth. You know, I didn't have any really gnarly traumatic things happen to me, except for the fact that I lived with ADHD at a time where ADHD was this fake thing that was the, you know, the naughty kid. And so I was always forced to kind of be pushed to the back of the classroom, or, you know, I never got the help that I needed in order to succeed in the system. And so as I got older, I rebelled from that and didn't want any part of it, and fell into not necessarily the crowd, the wrong crowd, but I fell into the crowd of people who were just like me. You know, they'd slipped through the gaps in the system, and they'd gone down the wrong path. And so there I was, you know, 17, 18 years old, addicted to drugs. I lived to get high, and if I wasn't high, I didn't want to live. And I realized one day, you know, after I had quite a drug-fueled rage trying to get some drugs and ended up having a fight in the middle of the street, I realized that this isn't who my parents raised me to be. You know, I have wonderful parents that stood by me through lots of thickness. And I reached that point where I was just like, I don't want to be this person. This isn't the person that I was raised to be. It's not the person I want to be. And my entire life, I had to change things myself. There was never someone giving me a leg up and changing things for me. There was lots of people trying, but I realized that, you know, unless it came from me, unless it was my own idea, then nothing was ever going to come of any decision that I'd made. And there I was, and I did. I made that decision to change my life. I told all my friends I was going to walk the entire coastline of New Zealand, and they told me I was crazy and that it was impossible. And I just thought, you know, why not? Why not just go and do something that everyone else thinks is impossible, just because I can, because I want to? I had a lot to prove, not to anyone else other than myself, but I wanted to prove to me that I was capable of achieving absolutely anything that I put my mind to. And that was my choice. My choice was to walk around New Zealand, and I set my goal, and one step at a time, I completed that journey.
Has the motivation changed since that initial walk? Because you didn't set out to walk around New Zealand, but you did. Since then, you've cycled from the westernmost point to the easternmost point of Australia. You've been across the Greenland ice cap. You've actually kayaked around Vancouver Island. What was your motivation for those adventures?
You know, I realised after that first journey that there was no coming back. There was... You know, I'd changed myself. I'd seen a new side of life that not many people have the opportunity to experience. And I'd experienced what it was like to live not needing anything. I was completely self-reliant. And so I had become my own motivation. And the motivation to carry on was, I guess it was almost chemical based, you know, like it was instinctual. I had to keep going. I had to keep on going for my mental wellness. You know, if I stopped, I would feel lost and I would feel stuck and like I wasn't achieving something, because every single day I was achieving. Every moment I was achieving. And so when I came back from that first journey, there was a whirlwind of media and I wrote a book and there was all these amazing opportunities for me. But once that kind of died down, I was stuck in this position of, well, what do I do now? You know, I can't go and get a normal job. It just didn't work for me. So the motivation to continue was, I was still running. You know, I was still running away from a side of myself that I didn't really even know that I needed to deal with. I was still living in shame of the traumatic version of myself that I was growing up as a child. You know, this very uncontrollable, abusive young boy who was just confused and stuck with this, you know, with ADHD, which at the time was this horrible, horrible thing that, you know, just ruled my life. And so the motivation switched from finding myself, creating myself, to working through all of my traumas so that I didn't have to be held back by myself. The motivation became to be of my own liking. And so every journey that I went on was about learning and understanding and really deepening knowledge of self and love for self.
At this point, Brando's motivation is sounding really close to our own motivation to make this podcast, which was to deepen our knowledge of ourselves and help other people do the same. But where our worst case scenario looks something like not getting enough listeners or business to sustain us in what we do, Brando's journey literally almost ended his life.
I'm 27 now. I've spent the last 7 or so years exploring the world, crossed the Greenland ice cap, kayaked around Vancouver Island, cycled across the deserts of Australia. And, you know, all of that time I have been shaping myself into the person that I am today. And that has taught me so many very, very valuable life lessons that I hope to be able to pass on to others.
I was really interested to hear about that. I think you described it as really a life-changing experience when you were on the walk around the coast of New Zealand and you were going through a gorge and somebody opened the dam and it really looked like you were actually looking at the final curtains.
That was a pretty crazy experience for me. I was still so young, and I think that's something that a lot of us don't realize. You know, at 19 years old, we're still children. We're still making sense of the world, especially in today's modern age where, let's be honest, teachers aren't the greatest at teaching about the way life is. And so, you know, there I was paddling down a river and the dam got opened at the top, and I got totally destroyed and thrown out of my raft and pushed to the very bottom. And suddenly, you know, I was without oxygen. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get back to the surface. I was like clawing my way up, trying to get back there. And I reached a point down under the water where I stopped trying to get back to the surface. I came to terms with the fact this was the end and blacked out underneath the water. But in that kind of it was probably only a few moments, but felt like forever. In that time, you know, everything changed. The water became warm, it became clear and all blue and lots of colors, and I just remember thinking, well, first of all, crap, I'm drowning. But then second of all, like just relaxing into the fact that you can't change everything. You can't control every aspect of your life, and that's where I was under there, at the mercy of nature, and blacked out. Woke up pretty quickly after on the side of the river, coughing, spluttering up water. Like the only explanation that I had was that when I had relaxed, when I decided to stop trying to pull myself back to the surface, I got pulled to the bottom underneath the log that I was kind of pinned up against, and then my life jacket brought me back to the surface. But, you know, as I just said, that taught me that you can't control everything in life, and the things that you can control, when you're able to control them, you should. And if you don't, then you're at the mercy of whatever happens next. Like, I was actually thinking today as I was driving home from work that absolutely everything we do in our lives is a decision. And if we choose to do nothing, that's still a choice that we've made. And so I think action creates reaction, and so every action should have purpose and should have a lot of thought put into it, even if it's a very last minute or last moment scenario.
With the risk element, how do you approach that differently now to say that first adventure you went on around the coast of New Zealand? How do you treat the element of risk differently now that you go, now that you're older, you've learned some things, you almost drowned, all that kind of stuff that's happened in between? Has that affected you in the types of risks you're prepared to take?
You know, it's a very interesting question, because the longer you are in an environment, the more comfortable you become. And, you know, it's a very fine line between complacent and comfortable. So I am very aware of my limitations and I would say that I have a lot of common sense when it comes to doing a lot of things, and to the outsider it may look like I'm an absolute nut job trying to do some really stupid and crazy things, but in reality the realm that I choose to explore my life through is the place that I feel most comfortable. You know, I think it's riskier for me to be stuck behind a computer or behind a desk because I'll get depressed and like I can't get out of that. Whereas if I'm kayaking down a river and there's a waterfall and I need to get out of the river and walk around the waterfall, that's totally all within my control. There is an element of risk that I might become out of control, but it's a lot less risky in my own life than it would to be trapped by the societal driven system that, you know, a lot of people choose to live their lives with.
Do you think that it's better to maybe put an element of risk into the things we do to spice things up and to find ourselves, or was it more about the rewards of what you've reaped as a result of that?
For me, I understand that life is about sensations and experiences, so feeling things and like emotions and feelings, and so do the things that you love and do the things that make you excited, do the things that make you sad, do the things that make you angry. You know, life's about living. Life's not about waiting for life to happen. And so it's just like, this is classic because it's like a Nike thing, just do it. Like, honestly, just do it. Not a sponsor, but you know, if you want to sponsor me, you know who I am. I'm Brando.
And us too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's honestly just a matter of acting. Action creates reaction. Whether it be positive or negative, that's totally up to your choosing.
So you've taken a lot of risks on these journeys, and obviously they've panned out. You're here today to tell the stories of them. But are there any that you'd say that it was too much of a risk? Like, even when you're in the bottom of a dam blacking out, the reward from that has still been great because it's that change in perspective.
Yeah. You know, that first journey, the difference between perceived risk and real risk was non-existent. I was naive. You know, I was 19 years old. I had no idea what I was doing. And so, you know, that journey taught me a lot about, you know, risk control and whether it is a good time to take a risk and not. I also have ADHD, which, you know, governs my impulse control in a big way. So the way that I describe it is my brain operates with a Ferrari engine but has bicycle brakes. So when when shit hits the fan, my brain is just getting started and my brain operates so smoothly in the most crazy, stressful, like environmental disasters. Like that's where I'm thriving. That's where I'm really just the best version of myself. But when it's slow and when I have to wait for things, that's dangerous for me. That's really dangerous because that's when my mind starts to wander. That's when I start to get bored and not paying attention. And so it's my belief and understanding that humanity wouldn't be where we are today without the modern idea of ADHD. You know, the ADHDers of today are the ones that decided, hey, maybe there's something outside of this cave. Should we go and explore? And I think it's just my brain is suited for craziness. My brain is suited for the life that I've chosen to live.
It's interesting that you talk about the difference in the way your brain operates as well, because I think for myself, from my own experience, if I go too quickly, that feels dangerous to me. But you're saying for yourself, if you go too slowly, that feels dangerous.
Yeah, and I think like I'm very lucky to have not gone crazily off the rails at some point and hit a wall because I've been very lucky to be where I am today, to have all my limbs and to not be dead from my own doing. So with all that experience comes, you know, the knowledge of I guess the realm of what I do. I can see a risk. It's crazy, you know, like I see risks absolutely everywhere. When I come back from my trips, all I see is risks. Like everything I look at, I have, like, by the time you've identified the plant, I've already gone through every single plant that's all around it, the different ways that plant could kill you, the different things that plant could do for you. Like I said, my brain is operating very, very fast, and it deals with a lot of information. And when it's the right kind of information and it's directed all in the right hyper-focused way, I'm unstoppable. You know, I see myself as a superhero with a really long cape that sometimes gets caught in the bushes. And that's my gift. ADHD is my gift, but it's also got that cape that gets caught.
What would you say to somebody else who is kind of weighing up the benefit of, do I do something? Is this too risky? I suppose from both, it's hard to separate, isn't it? The ADHD perspective or a more neurotypical perspective.
I know what you mean. And yeah. I do have the perspective that you're after. Everyone has moments of ADHD in their life. So although I'm not neurotypical, I am also neurotypical, but neurodiverse at the same time. You know, it's like I'm not some crazy alien. I'm still human. within reason, I would never regret taking a risk, because if it doesn't come to like a success, then the failure is a success in the sense of you've learned and you can do it differently next time. You know, life is about learning. Life's about sensations and experiences. And so life would be pretty boring if we were safe all of the time. And you look at the most successful businesses all around the world. So from a business sense, like those business owners did not get where they are without taking risks. And from an adventure sense, adventurers do not get to reap the rewards of like accomplishment and, you know, without taking risks. So I would always say take the risk. The one thing that you have to analyze is this going to cause me loss of life? Is this going to cause someone else loss of life? Is it worth it in the sense of, you have to ask yourself, what have I got to lose and what do the people around me have to lose by this? But, you know, I don't think you should ever have something that holds you back from a sense of fear. I mean, yes, fear is really good, but there's a difference between perceived risk and real risk. And that's something we all have to go out there to discover. And the only way you know the difference is by experiencing real risk and perceived risk.
Hey there! Just wanted to take a little breather from today's episode and say thank you so much for listening to us. Make sure you never miss an episode by hitting the follow button on your podcast app now. And while you're there, we'd love it if you left us a review. It really does help to boost us so we can reach even more people. You can also check out our Patreon page to see how you can access even more content at patreon.com/reframeofmind. And remember to tell everyone you know about us, because the more people we get talking about mental health, the more supported we'll all be.
Welcome to your daily affirmations. Repeat after me, working with others is easier than ever. I strive for perfect collaboration. Our teamwork keeps getting better.
Yeah, affirmations are great, but Monday.com can really get you the teamwork you desire. Work together easily and share files, updates, data, and just about anything you want all in one platform. Affirm yes to start. Or tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Tired of ads crashing your comedy podcast party? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Just head to amazon.com/adfreecomedy to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime subscribers. Some shows may have ads.
The start of every year brings tons of pressure to work out, and it stops some people from even starting. But starting is what matters most. That's why Peloton's made it easy to start with 2 months free all-access membership with your Peloton Bike or Bike Plus purchase. Start moving with thousands of classes with instructors ready to support you from day one. Shop Peloton's limited-time offer at onepeloton.com/deals. All-access membership separate. Terms apply.
Would you say that the baseline qualifier for any risk you take is whether it does or doesn't harm yourself or somebody else?
Yeah, and I mean, that's also subjective, because all of my adventures have caused me both psychological and physical harm. But that harm has then gone on to provide growth. And it actually became almost an addiction for me to push myself to my breaking point. I would push and I would push and I would push until I could not go anymore. Physically, could not go anymore because I wanted to know how far I could push myself mentally, how much I actually had in me. And that's just that same idea of wanting to know how powerful I really am as a human and how powerful we all can be if we put our mind to whatever it is that we are trying to accomplish.
The concept of risk is something we're all familiar with, and we usually associate it with things like whether something will threaten our safety or our livelihoods.
For Brando, though, the concept of risk is very different, as he highlighted referring to certain elements of his Australian trek that struck him in other, thankfully non-life-threatening ways.
So you can't go on a journey, like a big exploration journey, every moment of every day. And something like mental health depression is something that I think it's always active as something to take care of once we start experiencing it. So how do you do with the downtime? How do you keep the black dog away?
You know, the black dog has been biting at my heels for a very long time. Every time I come back from a trip, it was always the post-expedition blues. And, you know, it would last anywhere from 2 weeks to a month or pretty much until I went on my next adventure. And when I got back from Australia, you know, it was just pre-COVID, and it was just like, I was, to be completely fair, I was like so shocked and surprised. You know, I went to Australia kind of romanticizing what it would be like to travel through the outback and meet, you know, the Aboriginal people and their communities. And I was just shocked, to be fair, like going through some of those communities and seeing third world like poverty. It made me absolutely sick and disgusted. And I'm someone who's very emotionally in tune, not only with nature, but with, you know, the people of the land. I understand their way of thinking, not because I've been taught, but because I've spent so much time surrounded by nature. You know, I understand the language that is just energetically around us. And so that whole journey progressively got more and more depressing for me. And, you know, I started in Steep Point, which was crazy wild, like there's no one really out there. Through the middle of Australia, there's no one at all. And you know, there's some places that I guess would be completely untouched, you know, like no one had any reason to ever go there, and here I am riding my bike just through like Mulga country and over sand dunes, and it was just so surreal and so wild and so natural. And then I got closer and closer to civilization. First there was fences, and there was roads and rubbish and cars and pollution, and then, you know, it was the crazy bushfires, so there was smoke everywhere. And, you know, it just really affirmed this humans destroying the planet mentality that governs a lot of thoughts in both my life and a lot of people's lives. And I finished in Byron Bay, which I thought was like this real spiritual place, until I got there and realized it's like spiritual tourism.
You know, never a truer sentence has been said.
And it was just quite sad. And so it took me a good year to really recover from that journey and to realize that I needed to stop. I needed to stop these big adventures, at least for the time being. And, you know, it wasn't a matter of not wanting to go out there. It was a matter of teaching myself and I guess learning to be okay without going out on these big adventures. Because it's like, it's one thing to it's just escapism in a really extreme way. And that's what it had been for me. I was running away from reality, and those journeys were my version of reality at the time, but they were not sustainable for my body, and I couldn't do that many that often. So here I am now, and I can comfortably say, after almost a year and a half of not being on an expedition, that I've learned to manage the black dog and keep it in its kennel for for long periods of time. And it's through nature. I took elements of things that I learned on all of my journeys, and I've kind of integrated them into my life. And It's just really simple things. I learned to shoot a bow and arrow on my first journey, and I took the breathing element from shooting a bow and arrow to calming my mind, because in order to hit your target, you have to have a clear mind, you have to be breathing, you have to let the arrow go at the perfect time with your breath, otherwise it's not going to hit its target. And so I thought of my emotions and my feelings exactly the same way. I need to stop before I attack, before I shoot, and take a breath, calm my mind, and then make a decision or then take the shot. And for me, that was a really big one, is having that realization that you can pretty much, for me, I could flip the coin and take everything that I'd learned and applied into my life out there, which was like keeping me alive every day, into life as everyone knows it, and use it to keep out the negative vibes and keep positive ones. But like, it would be wrong of me to say that negative vibes aren't going to come, because it's just part of life, you know. Bad things happen and you have to deal with them, just like on my adventures. Sometimes it would rain and I couldn't click my fingers and make it stop, and you know, I would have wet gear for weeks, and I just had to deal with that. I think that throughout my whole life, I have become more and more resilient, right from the time I was born, through school, struggling with my ADHD, and that really prepared me for the lifestyle that I've chosen to live for the last 7 years, and it's prepared me for the lifestyle that I'm living right now. But I can happily say that I am to my own liking at this point in time, in this version of myself.
Which is a great place to be, Brando. I'm just wondering, like, I know that you have a very big respect for nature after, you know, all the adventures you've been on. What would be the most vital things that you've integrated to help keep the dog away?
You know, just that connection with nature. It's so simple. It's like, I think we as humans really overcomplicate a lot of things. And if you strip all the layers away and look at yourself as an animal, you know, as a primal animal, because that's what we are when you take away the mind and everything we think we know because someone else has told us, we're just animals, and animals need nature. Animals need water, animals need food, animals need nature. And so, like, a classic example is right now I'm on this interview sitting in the grass. I'm like, I've got the bush behind me, and it's like,
did I hear a horse earlier?
Yeah, you did. you know, it is truly just a matter of having a relationship with the natural world, and that will change so many elements of your life, you know, not just your mental wellness, but, you know, we're in this really tricky stage as like humanity as a whole, where the planet is being destroyed, and it's not because we don't want to save it, it's because we don't know what we're actually losing. You know, if everyone knew how important and how powerful and how special nature was in the level that, say, someone like myself understands it from being a part of it for so long, it wouldn't even be a question. It would just be like a no-brainer, like, why are we doing this? Like, it's just, we need nature and it doesn't need us.
Would you say that the way the perception of baby Brando has changed to 27-year-old Brando is, the message was go out and change your life, but now it's go inside and change your life?
Yeah, and I think it's important that you begin where I began, because if you try and go straight in, you're going to meet some real seriously scary dark demons. And you have to put yourself in the right environment to deal with a lot of things. And so baby Brando went out because he had no idea what was going on. He was lost, he was confused, and he was just doing anything that he could to feel good. A dopamine heat-seeking rocket ship, that's what Brando was. And so now that I've grown, you know, and I've got another 7 or 8 years of experience with what I do and how I've learned to connect with myself, it's definitely a matter of going in, but not in the sense that, you know, don't follow the crowd, because you have to have your own way of doing things. And, you know, I've tried all the different things, yoga, meditation, and they're all really great practices to have, but you need to integrate your own practices into your life that suit you and align with your goals and your own values. And that's one of the most important things, is that it's of your choosing. And if it's not of your choosing, then you're just living somebody else's idea.
What are some of the best things of humanity that you've seen on these journeys?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. You know, on my first journey, I didn't know my neighbor growing up. In fact, my neighbor probably thought I was deranged, like devil child, always screaming, and got tasered on the roof by the police once for not coming down. I was honestly like, they could have made a movie about how bad I was growing up or how lost and confused. It's quite sad when I really think about it. But meeting people along the way at the beginning of that journey around New Zealand, I was very much to myself. Don't need your food, don't need your accommodation, thank you, but no thank you. But then I realized, that these people are people and they want to help me for no reason other than it's going to make them feel good. And so the human element around New Zealand, people cooking me meals, inviting me in for cups of tea and giving me a bed to stay in the night, that restored my faith in humanity. It actually gave me faith in humanity. When I went to Canada, I was part of this really cool project called Co-Extinction, and they are making a film kind of highlighting all the really destructive things that are going on in the environment and how it's affecting the southern resident orca whales around Vancouver Island. And when you put yourself in an environment that is really healthy, you start drawing in all those kinds of people as well. And so seeing all of the people around me in my life changing, not necessarily because of what I was doing, but some of them directly because of what I was doing, seeing that was just like totally mind-blowing, that by me living my best life and by me choosing to be the person that I was and just living, I was having an effect on other people. And another really, really powerful moment was, there's this guy actually I met in the outback of Australia, and he was in the middle of nowhere, just this little tiny shack on the edge of this dust road in Western Australia, and he had all these little sacks all out on the fence, like probably about 30 or 40 sacks, and in them was kangaroos that he'd rescued, like little joeys. Oh. And so he's always forever going to be the kangaroo man. And he made me a sandwich, and there was like these little little kangaroos jumping around everywhere. And it's just people like that, people that are just decided to escape the rat race, to remove themselves from what's expected of us because it's what everyone else is doing, and is just living their own life. And it's so inspiring for me to see that, because that's what I've chosen to do. And it's like, I'm different, you're different, you're both different, we're all different, so why are we trying to live the same?
I'm just curious, because you're talking a lot about the positive experiences you've had with humans and how much you're inspired by human contact along the way on your adventures. But also early on, you were talking about, as you were coming back into what we classify as civilization, you saw the destruction and the negative impacts that we're having on the planet. So I'm just curious to ask whether you think there is a way we can cut through to people so they understand, without preaching to the converted or without coming across as completely negative, what do you think would be the best message to give people to say, hey, this is actually really important, you can make a difference?
It's a very, very hard question to answer. But I think it's as simple as you just put it, reach out and tell them, hey, you can really make a difference. And even if they say at the time, I don't care about that, whatever, it doesn't matter, it's not my life later on, all that stuff, it just means they weren't ready to hear the message yet. But you've given them the message, and when the right environment comes around them, then they will hear that message. And when all of the people around them start changing, then change will start happening. But when I was in school, one thing I do remember was being told lots and lots, first of all, that I had potential, but second of all, that my generation was the future of change. And that's something that I always remember, and something that stuck with me, because I want to be the future of change, because that's what I was told as a child. And now you go into school and teachers are telling the same thing to the kids, and it's true, because every generation is the generation to change. But we have a responsibility here to teach the younger generation, the older generation, that the things that have been going on aren't okay. And we can all see the global shift, the global change, it's happening. Everything is happening. It's just not as fast as social media operates. It is happening, though. And in the whole scheme of the world and life, it's it's happening at a pretty fast rate, considering how old the Earth is.
I'll let you in on a little secret. When I was about 7 years old, I was visiting my grandmother, and she was born in 1907. And the neighbour said to her, "Frieda, we've really stuffed up the Earth. It's up to his generation to fix it."
Oh, no.
I think we've been hearing this story for a while. I don't want to be pessimistic, but I do think what you're saying, though, is that we are, I think, starting to get to a tipping point. It does feel like we're getting to a point now where people are starting to get greater awareness on an everyday level rather than this high level that we've been talking about for years.
Yeah, that's like a very interesting point. But the one thing that I kind of have amongst that, I mean, humanity is great. Like, don't get me wrong, and humans are awesome. But the Earth doesn't need us, and the Earth's going to carry on without us. And it's only a matter of time. You know, we're not going to live forever, just as dinosaurs didn't live forever. The Earth won't live forever. And like, the least we can do is, while we're here, make it last as long as we can. And I think that's so simple. In the sense of connecting with nature, I'm going to come back to connecting with nature, because if you love the environment you live in, you're not going to treat it wrong. So to jump back and re-answer that question about, you know, trying to share that message, it's not about sharing the message. It's about enabling nature to give its own message. It's about helping people to reconnect and to build a relationship with, you know, with the thing that's keeping us all alive.
Brenda, I hear with you talking about connecting to nature, that's really important. And when you speak, I can hear a great deal of gratitude in your voice and for everything, for life, humanity, the planet. To me, like, that's one of the keys to living a happy life, is to find that gratitude. So how do you daily do that? Like, what are the processes? Because that doesn't just happen. You have to work on that.
Oh, no, you definitely have to work on that. And for me, that looks like making sure I spend at least 10 minutes in nature every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can be as simple as going for a walk through the bush, or going for a walk along the beach, going for a swim, just like formulating that that small thing that you do every day, which reminds you in between the times that you can really go out and connect with it. You can go camping or hiking and really having a more in-depth one. But, you know, that's obviously not an option for everyone like a lot of the time. And so I develop other things in my life that help me to get through the day to day. And that, for me, looks like routine. So physical exercise, I get up in the morning, I have a bowl of oats every morning. I have the same breakfast. It might sound real boring, but like, sometimes I put different fruit in it, which is real exciting when I do that. But it's just about creating like a structured routine that you can follow. We're creatures of habit. Humans are creatures of habit. And so if you create habits in your life that are positive and will continue to help you grow and change in the direction that you want to, or stay the version of yourself that you are, that is going to help you to stay away from the black dog, per se. Mm. But when the black dog does come, if you have that routine and if you have that structure, then you can tell the black dog to go back, to go back to bed or sit down. And it's not as scary as if your life is totally out of control and you're just kind of living from experience to experience without having any say on what that experience is. Because we have the choice of experience, or we have the choice of random experience. So it's like totally up to us at the end of the day. We control a large portion of the outcome of our life, and it's just a matter of doing it.
What's your next adventure?
My next adventure, that's a very, 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 very good question. I'm still kind of in this process of change. Like, I feel like I've been in a cocoon for the last 2 years and I'm finally spreading my wings. But I really want to take everything that I've learned and I want to share those messages. So what that will look like is me visiting schools and sharing my story and really just empowering kids to grab their life and live their dreams, chase their bliss, step into their power and like do the things that they love. Because that's what it's all about. you know, doing the things that make you happy, do the things that you're interested in. But in terms of like a big outdoor adventure, there's like a list. It's a mile long. I'd love to ride across Mongolia on horseback, but who knows when I'll be able to do that. Lots of kayaking, lots of really cool stuff. And, you know, in the next few years, I'll most likely start a family with my partner, and that'll be a whole new adventure of its own for sure.
I'm just feeling overwhelmed with inspiration now. Like, it's been really great having a chat.
Lovely. You know? You're so lovely, Brando.
Well, thank you very much.
Very happy to have spoke to you today.
Absolutely.
And I
thank you for the opportunity.
I would love to see an updated TED Talk.
Yeah, I would love to do one. Like, maybe not a youth either, like a proper one.
Yes. So much to share now that it wasn't in that one, and so much more life experience. I think it could reach a lot of people, and I really respect that. I can imagine that almost everybody that you interact with walks away feeling a little bit better that day. So I really respect that.
Well, that is the goal. That is the goal. Leave everything a little better than you found it.
You can find Brando on Instagram at Brando Yelovich Explorer or on his website at wildboyadventures.com. All those details are in our show notes.
Next time on Reframe of Mind, we shine the light back onto ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, surprise.
All about and, look,
and look at what it means to be taking that risk and backing ourselves with some familiar voices, including 2021 Queensland Australian of the Year, Dinesh Pallapana.
I'm not saying that we should throw caution to the wind and just do ridiculous things. Sometimes we just have to take risks.
You've been hearing our story. Now we really want to hear yours.
Connect with at Reframe of Mind on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok and Twitter.
Or connect with at Welcome Change Media on LinkedIn.
You can also contact us via reframeofmind.com.au with your stories or suggestions for future topics.
We'd like to thank today's guests for sharing their personal stories and insights. And for more information on any of the subjects, guests or references used in this episode, please see our show notes or reframeofmind.com.au.
Reframe of Mind is a Welcome Change Media production.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite show? Good news. Ad-free listening on Amazon Music is included with your Prime membership. Download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.com/adfreesports. That's amazon.com/adfreesports to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Enjoy thousands of Acast shows ad-free for Prime members. Some shows may have ads.
Inflation, student debt, recession, mortgage rates. Your employees have a lot on their minds. Offer them financial well-being support from Vanguard while on your way at institutional.vanguard.com. All investing is subject to risk. Advice provided by Vanguard Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor.